The Gentle Dentist continues to hear compliments from their patients.
I am so glad we found the Gentle Dentist. It is truly pain-free. Not just for me, but I'm so happy my children have had such a wonderful experience. They love the Smile Club.
I'm a business owner, so every minute of my time is valuable. I love that they are so respectful of my time.
The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call now. New patients receive a free sonic toothbrush with a cleaning and exam. Call 614-431-3311.
Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. The Toronto Blue Jays have advanced to the American League Championship Series. College football separation Saturday, part three, goes down this Saturday. College football, we've got some massive games on the board. NFL football, it's getting real already as the season is rolling along. And we're into, like, man, it's October right now already. Like, college football, it's getting real. I mean, there's already bowl projections right now. And every game, you know, is almost an eliminator for a lot of teams in the college football world right now. Major League Baseball, the Seattle Mariners, a franchise that have never made the World Series before, had the Detroit Tigers on the ropes, a Detroit Tiger team that – is really just stitching this thing together. Let's call it out for what it is. And, you know, I've watched the Tigers and the Guardians in the American League Central Series, and we all thought, wow, like, these teams are going to get rolled no matter who they play, even if they advance. So does it really matter? But let's give credit to the Detroit Tigers. Like, somehow a baseball team that has scored, you know, like, two runs in 2 weeks – and, like, basically has one good pitcher, is somehow still here. Like, it's almost like a miracle, but you can thank the Seattle Mariners for that. Mariners had an opportunity, man. Mariners had an opportunity to ice the series. You have the bases loaded. You've got nobody out. You know what I mean? You're up 1-0. You can really blow the game open. You only score one run. It leaves the window open for the Detroit Tigers to chip away. And same thing with the Los Angeles Dodgers against the Phillies, right? Early in the game, remember, the Dodgers took a 1-0 lead with Edmund. Edmund hits a home run. And then Dodgers have runners on first and third, and they end up, like, with one out. They end up not getting anything out of it, and they ended up getting smoked after. They get blown out when it's all said and done. So these early runs freaking matter in Major League Baseball playoff games. But even though I am not, and a lot of people think I am, but whatever. It kind of bothers me in a sense because anyone that knows me, it's pretty clear I'm an L.A. Dodger fan. I've been an L.A. Dodger fan since 1974. We're in 2025 right now. So I have these jackass, like, 23-year-olds asking me, are you a Dodger fan? I was sitting in a dugout with Tommy Lasorda before you were born, you dumbass. So I got people, you're a Blue Jay fan, right? Yeah, I'm a Blue Jay fan. Everybody in Canada is related with Canada as a Blue Jay fan, and everybody in Canada knows each other, and everybody in Canada is good at hockey, right? It's like one of these things. Although I will say this, you can't make this up, as Cam Stewart in the house with us. I was in Hollywood in, like, the 80s, and I was always taking a bus to Dodger games. And I'd take the bus on Hollywood Boulevard. Forget what bus number it was, whatever. I take the bus. It was, like, basically, like, really easy. You know, you take the bus on Hollywood Boulevard, it would take you all the way down into, like, East LA type of deal. And it took, like, 45 minutes or something like that. But you know, imagine there's a lot of freaks on buses in Los Angeles, right?
So big time. There's freaks yeah. here, so I can't imagine LA.
Yeah, there's a lot of freaks. And there it's a big thing. Like people like there, it used to be like a dollar or something, Cam, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like,
wow.
A lot of people, you'd get like crazy freaks and homeless people. It was actually a pretty good idea, actually. Mm-hmm. They would just pay the dollar and they would sit on the bus all day. They would go back and forth.
And
they would, sort of, they would talk to people and you go along the beach or whatever. You take one of the nice scenic bus routes. But I'll never forget, some crazy guy starts talking to me. Somehow it comes up. I tell him, yeah, I'm Montreal. And he asked me if I know a guy. And I'm thinking,
you know Fred from Laval?
Yeah. Sure I do. And well, the craziest thing is I effing did, which is it.
That's amazing.
It blew my mind. I was like, you know. Like, what the hell you think? Everyone knows? I was like, yeah, somehow I was like, I can't believe this, that I actually know the guy.
I know the guy from Montreal. Gabe, it's awesome.
I remember he goes, yeah, I figured you might know him. Yeah, you're from there. And I was like, yeah, dude, there's 3 million people from there.
That's
like,
awesome.
Not everybody knows everybody. But yeah. I never let people think I'm a Jays fan. I like the Jays. Like, put it this way. Like, the only team I'm a big fan of Toronto, like, diehard is the Raptors. Mm-hmm. Like, I get mad. I travel to see the Raptors. I get mad when they lose. Like, the Raptors, like I said, I saw the Raptors in their first year and stuff. My buddy worked at a radio station in Montreal, and nobody showed up to claim the contest prize. So he called me. I had, like, 10 minutes. Like, they had till like, noon to pick up the prize. It was a trip to Toronto, hotel, courtside seats and all that.
Amazing.
In their inaugural season. And the contest winner never claimed them. So my buddy called me, and he called me at, like, 11:30, and he goes, listen, I can't give these away to you until 12, but if the guy doesn't show up by noon, they're not good anymore. Like, the train is leaving at, like, you know, 12:30 type thing or whatever. So he goes, you got to get down here, like, right away if you're going to do this. So I did. I actually, like, got in a taxi. I went to the radio station. The second it was 12:01, my buddy came down. He gave me the passes and stuff. So, like, I was going to Raptor games in year one. So, actually, you know, from year one, 25 years to the championship, I saw it all. I went through it all. So, I was a part of it. I can't, like, I'm not a Blue Jay fan. Like, I'm a Dodger fan, and I was an Expo guy. So, I do like the Blue Jays, though. The Leafs, I don't care about. Like, the Leafs can win, they can lose, whatever. It's like, I'd like to see the Leafs do well. I'm not a Leaf hater. I'd like to see the Canadians do better or the Canucks do better. Right? So, like, I'm not a Leaf, like, but I'm not a Leaf fan. I'm not a Leaf hater. I've got a soft spot in my heart for the Argos, but I support every CFL team for the most part, besides the Rough Riders.
Rough Riders.
Right, they can go to hell. They can go to hell. So, you know, my point is, though, so a lot of people think I'm a Blue Jay fan and this and that. Oh, you must be happy the Blue Jays won. And I am happy the Blue Jays won because it just shut so many people up, right? Like Michael Kay. Michael Kay is like one of the most annoying people in all of sport. And his smugness, the same smugness that Yankee fan has and media fan has is the same smugness that I've seen in Montreal over the years with hockey, where people in Montreal think everybody else is an idiot. I'm telling you, I know, like, everybody's an idiot. Nobody really knows hockey like they do in Montreal. The Canadians are the best. Look how many banners they have. And it's like, all right, yeah, all that was true. That used to be true in the 70s, in the 60s, in the 50s, right? The Canadians are not a dominant franchise anymore. They haven't won a freaking Stanley Cup since 1993. So people in Montreal, you can pretend all you want that, oh, yeah, we're the center of the hockey universe. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. A bunch of people in Montreal care. Yeah, you got fans everywhere, but, like, you're not like the center of the hockey universe. You're going to be battling for a playoff spot. So the New York Yankees are the same effing thing now. Oh, the Yankees. Like, I'm just, you know, it's comical to me. Like, somehow, like, the people, like, think that, you know, the Yankees, like, oh, how dare they? They're the Yankees. And Michael Kay earlier this year, the Toronto Blue Jays just aren't very good. They're not a first-place team. They're just not a first-place team. Because it just bothered him that somehow, like, the Blue Jays were better than the Yankees are. Right? Hell, Buck Martinez took shots at the Yankees, but he was actually right. Like, Buck Martinez saying the same things the Yankees fans say about the team, that they're not a very well-constructed team. And then you get the Sal Licata dude, who I got to wonder, I don't know, maybe he's an entertaining talk show host and stuff like that, but I don't know if the guy's ever been right once in his life, but New York talk show hosts are a lot like Fox News talk show hosts. Say whatever you want, just yell it, and if you're wrong, never bring it up again. You're not wrong. The people that you were talking about were wrong. So Sal Licata, the Blue Jays are a joke after, like, they lost one game in the series. Blue Jays are a joke. This is what I told you. I told you that they suck. They're a mirage. The Yankees are going to win the series now easily. Blah, 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 blah. Fast forward to, I'm sure today, the guy is just bitching about the Yankees today. He won't bring up the fact that he was the jackass, right? No, he'll blame the Yankees. Now, I'm not a jackass. They're the jackasses for losing. Never mind all the stupid things that I said. And the fact that I also know that American TV networks and executives hate the Toronto Blue Jays being on TV as much as they do brings me joy and makes me a Blue Jay fan during all of this. So, Cam, big news in Toronto that the Blue Jays did not fall apart in the playoffs and have won a series right now and won a series in a very convincing fashion. Their bullpen got it done for them, a bullpen that a lot of people criticize. This thing is lining up beautifully for a World Series run for the Blue Jays right now.
I got to tell you, Gabe, everything you said true. And, you know, when I look at the Yankees lineup, who scares you other than Judge? Like, I'm looking at the big names on their team. I'm like, who are you guys, right? The Blue Jays have a lot of guys who, you talk about buses, like, you know, these guys ride buses. A lot of guys in the minor leagues, the Ernie Clements world, Nathan Lucas. Like, I can't believe he's third in the American League with contact with two strikes. Like, guy's a career minor leaguer, huge hit. Miles Straw, great defensively. He gets a big hit. They patched together a bullpen, like Varland. You know what I mean? Gabe Little, Fisher, Eric Lauer, who was great for them earlier on in the year. Like, it's unbelievable. The Yankees get two runs courtesy of Judge. And no, I've ever been prouder of this club. In 92, it was a different story, Gabe, as you know. They were an all-star team, and they went and got pieces to make them a World Series winner when they beat Atlanta and Philadelphia. This is different. Vladimir Guerrero is the star on the team, but they have a lot of guys who play minor league ball stepping up into big positions on their team, right? Like, Ernie Clement's been absolutely amazing. I can't believe how good he's playing, even in the postseason. The pitching's been great. I know they call up Yusevich. He's been awesome. So, yeah, people here are really, really proud. John Schneider was going bananas last night. Marenzi, the guy's redder than me. I'm looking at my purple face. God, drives guys dropping F-bombs when the champagne was being uncorked. But great series by the Jays. And for them to rebound after blowing a 6-1 lead in game three, I was out with Bovee, Gabe, and it was a pretty somber walk home that night. But to come back after that, blowing that lead and to beat down the Yankees was quite satisfying.
Now, I don't want to start – I'm not going to start building statues for the Blue Jays organization yet because they, you know, they really haven't done anything. All right, you want a playoff series. You know, good teams do this all the time. But with that being stated, Schneider has been heavily criticized over the years for not – you know, for just sort of being a company guy. And, you know, he had never been a manager in the big leagues before. He was a manager. Like, Schneider really has worked his way up. Like, incredibly so. Like, it is a feel-good story. Like, I know my buddy Jason B. Takafin, who was a regular on the show, he was the president, general manager of the Vancouver Canadian baseball team, who's a Blue Jay affiliate. And John Schneider was the manager in Vancouver before. So, like, John Schneider literally started out, guys, at A-ball. Like for real. Like, he started out at the bottom tier. Like, the Vancouver Canadians, they get, like, the kids. Like, you get drafted, basically, and, like, you know what I mean? You get sent to Vancouver. A lot of players have come through Vancouver, though, over the years. Noah Syndergaard, a bunch of, like, a lot of the older, a lot of that sort of 10 years ago type of thing. Yeah, it was a real pipeline. But Schneider started out there. And Schneider, like, coaching Vancouver, managing Vancouver, like, you know, rookie A-ball type stuff. And then and ended up, like, working his way up the ladder. He won the championship in 2016 in, like, New Hampshire, double A ball. Like, this guy, like, has nothing's been handed to John Schneider. Like, say what you'll about this guy. Like, we call all Big John Studd, he's a big dude, and, you know, all that type stuff. And nothing has been handed to this guy for free. Like, this is, like Cam said, like the 92 and the 93 Blue Jays. They were an all-star team. the Blue Jays were like super rich and they were super aggressive. It was all free agents. Dave Winfield, Paul Molitor, like whatever, like you name it. Jack Morris, like Dave Winfield, Ricky Henderson. Like everybody. They basically went to like, they went to all-star games, the Blue Jays, and basically just said, all right, you come with us.
Right? Yeah, like, true.
They used to stockpile. The Blue Jays were all in, right? Because for a lot of years, the Blue Jays had their own internal talent, and it could never get over the top, like kind of like the Expos. You know, the Moisbys and, you know, the McGriffs and, like, you know, the Dave Steves, the real Blue Jays of the world. They couldn't get over the top. So then Carlsberg and, you know, the brewery that owned the Blue Jays at the time, they had a new stadium. They were buzzing. The city of Toronto was sort of growing. So they went really all in, spent a ton of money, and won a couple of World Series. But this Blue Jay team, it's true. This is a homegrown team, right? This is a homegrown team, the manager, a ton of the players, and Atkins and Shapiro, who I've criticized a lot.
Me too.
And everybody has over the years. They deserve credit right now as well. But as I stated, winning one playoff series is good, and they deserve credit for it, and they deserve the accolades for it. And it's not easy, and they're one series away from the World Series right now. But you're supposed to, right? I mean, we don't have parades in Hollywood because the Dodgers win a playoff series, right? It's like, no, all right, next series up. Although I will say I see some people bitching and complaining about the Blue Jays' excessive celebration. And they did go hard. Like, you would have thought they won the World Series. Because when I saw that, I was like, damn, these guys win the World Series. I don't know how they're going to raise the level of the celebration. like they had the cigars out. They were going hard. You could tell, like, a lot of times teams will spray the champagne around, Cam, but they don't actually drink it. Like, you know, a couple of them will drink it a bit, but they're not really getting drunk. And it's sort of like, oh, it looked crazy. Like, in a regular season, it looks like that. They're not getting, like, lit hammered. You could tell the Blue Jays were. Like, the Blue Jays were literally drinking the champagne for real. They weren't just spraying it. Like, they were chugging bottles and stuff. And,
yeah.
Like, you could tell they were getting, like, they were slurring their speech pretty quickly. But, so, I saw Yankee fans and a lot of people in baseball media. And, oh, these guys know that they didn't win the World Series and all this, but I used to be like that, guys. I used to be the same way. I used to be like, whatever, dude, who cares? Like, next. No, we didn't accomplish anything. We got to move on. And I've come around over the years, and I see it, and I get it now. Why? And I've spoken to managers about this, and I've spoken to people in baseball about this. It's basically, it's to break the tension, right? You can't, like, guys, you know how stressful it is? So you're trying to win a World Series or the NBA Finals or something like that. And you have all, it's the entire season that you have all the stress of these series and stuff. If you don't exhale, Cam, and you exhale, enjoy the moment, and then move on, the overbearing stress will catch up to you. I think a good example, like, so it's basically like, you know, like basically like the Jays, they had fun. They beat the Yankees. Mm-hmm. They deserve to party for a night.
Yep.
They're going to wake up today. They're going to be a little hungover. They're going to shake it off. They're good. They're athletes. They're young. They're going to shake it off. They're not playing. Seattle only playing tomorrow, and the Blue Jays will kick back and get refocused. It's very similar to like Nick Saban. Nick Saban, a couple of years ago, a reporter went to an Alabama practice, and The reporter was shocked at the practice that Alabama was running. It was like there was like music was cranking. Players were like laughing and sort of playing games with each other. And like it was a very loose atmosphere. And the guy could not believe that like rap music was being cranked like super loud at an Alabama football practice. And Nick Saban was bobbing his head, walking around type stuff. And like, and they asked the reporter did an interview one-on-one with Nick after, and he said, Coach, like, I never expected your, he goes, you know, your reputation and, you know, like Alabama football. I never expected your practice to be as loose as this. And he said, we play 12 games in a regular season. He goes, about three or four of them are the big ones. He goes, I can't be a drill sergeant every week for 12 weeks in a row. He goes, by the time the end of the year comes, they're going to hate me. They're going to be worn out. And he goes, we can't practice over the top hard every day for every game because we'll be burnt out by the end of the year. So Nick basically said, I pick my spots. He goes, you know, basically about half the season, they get to run the practice and they do a good job at it. I let the team captains kind of run it. And he goes, they can play music if they want as long as they get their job done. And then he basically said, he goes, you know, when we're playing Auburn, we're playing when it's Georgia week, he goes, the music gets turned off. Like, you know what I mean? I like this style. Like, he wasn't like, no. We got to prepare like this every goddamn game. He admitted each week is different depending on who we're playing.
I'm going to tell you, Morency, what do you think when you look at the Yankees? Tension, you know, the whole time. Like, at the end of the series, they played a little bit well, but just Boone looks worried. Everybody looks worried. You're right, though. But there's an aura of tension. Like, you know what I mean? And the thing about the Blue Jays were, to your point, and you bring up excellent points, sometimes they're a little bit too loose with stuff. And now I think it's just the right mix. Like, they're very... You know, they're having fun all the time, but they still see their eyes on the prize. Before, it was just a little too much dancing all the time in the dugout, but I have no problem with their celebration. I think it's fantastic, but there's work to be done.
You've got to enjoy the journey along the way.
Yes.
That's the whole point. Like, it's like life. It's not just the destination. You got to enjoy the journey along the way because you just do. And look at the LA Dodgers. The LA Dodgers, ton of success, 2 World Series in the last 4 years. 5 years, whatever, you know, since 2021, et cetera. 2 championships. Dude, they won the division last 2 weeks ago, late in the season. They busted out the champagne and the beer in the clubhouse, and they sprayed it around everywhere. They won the World Series last year. You could say, what the hell? Like, even I would almost be like, guys, what do I care, man? We won the effing World Series twice. Like, you think I'm going to spray champagne because we just beat the Reds in a wild card series? They did. They did. Right? They did. It's to lighten the tension. Let's say I have some fun here. You know what I mean? This isn't, I find this a whole cam. And, you know, I've been guilty of it. You know, we yell, we get mad about things, and especially with betting. But people, they take sports too seriously.
Good call.
I noticed this. Like, I was watching ESPN, and Adam Schefter comes on and the NFL breaking news. You think they're talking about a nuclear war? The Dallas Cowboys will be without their right guard this week. And his look on his face, man, you'd think the world is over. Like, you're talking football, Adam. Like the seriousness of everybody in sports. Like, I see it now, sort of seeing things differently. I don't know. It's like I look at what, like, everything bothers me again. Like, now I watch, I'm like, God, this is phony, or it's fake, or this or that. Like, and that whole... That they're like politicians. They're just so fake sports media. It's like, it's not that serious. I know it's your little job, right? It's almost like a news anchor. You'll see, they'll be like, oh, and a house burnt down. And the girl, the lady, the anchor will have sort of a sympathetic look on her face. And then she'll flip it in 2 seconds. Yeah. And we'll wrap it up with this cute little dog. And then she's smiling. She's an actress. She's not like, she's not feeling anything. She knows she's playing it, right?
Yeah.
So I see, like, the NFL, the guys, like, they do the same thing, man. Like, Schefter puts on his serious face. It ain't that serious, Schefter. We're just talking about sports. We're talking about football. And it's the same thing in New York. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Everybody is so tense and stuff. You know what, though? The thing is, the Yankee fans are very supportive when they're doing well.
That's
so
true.
You can't – it goes both ways for the Yankees. They do get this superpower because of the fans. But the fans turn on them quickly, and then they feel the tension. They're just, listen, they're the Yankees. People bitch about Steinbrenner all the time and stuff, and they spend $300 million. Like, what the hell you want them to do? Like, they don't spend the money in the right places. To me, it's more of a Brian Cashman thing. I think Boone is kind of a bad manager, but managers don't really decide anything now anyways. But to me, it's a Cashman issue. They need to get younger. They need more stars, sort of, like, to play faster. You know, like they, like a Juan Soto, who they had, but they didn't want to stay there. So they're not all that far off. Like, we hear all this, all the Yankees, they're a joke, and they're a poorly constructed team. And, yeah, they kind of are a poorly constructed team. No one can dispute that. But if Gerrit Cole was there, they would have been even more lethal. So they didn't have their best pitcher.
And Schlittler's going to be awesome, Gabe. That guy, that kid's got a skill set.
Yeah, they're not very far off. Pitcher. Like, they're basically, true. They, you know what I mean? they need to develop and have like a star or two come up like the Dodgers do. Like if you look at the Dodgers could sign anyone they want. Like they could assign Soto if they wanted to. They could like, they could go all-star if they want. They don't. And there's a reason for it. They know, like, you don't do it. It's like, okay, yeah, we got six star guys, but let's leave three spots for young guys in our own organization that could become stars. Otherwise, we're just going to become a team that relies on other teams' talent to be good. Mm-hmm. And that's a bad world to live in. Right? Like you look at the Blue Jays, say good example. The Blue Jays developed a lot of the guys that they had.
Yeah. How many stars do they have, really?
And then they like in
what do you say? 3, 2? Guerrero, Springer? Like who are that's it. Like you look up and down their lineup, they're all homegrown guys. They're guys who have grinded. And Gossman's a star.
Kevin Gossman's one of the highest paid players in the league. Yeah.
He's good.
The thing with the Blue Jays is the unnamed heralded guy saved the Blue Jays in a sense. Because the Blue Jays actually spent a ton of money too. The Blue Jays are fifth right now in Major League Baseball payroll. The Blue Jays spent $250 million. And what do you like for on who? It's one of those deals. You're like, really? Who do you really have? But they have a lot of really highly paid players on the team. Santander makes a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Gossman makes a ton of money. Berrios makes like a nice chunk of money. Their pitchers, Bassett, like the big league pitchers that have been around a while, those guys are all making like pretty good money. Gossman makes massive money. Like he signed as a big time free agent. Guerrero makes $500 million. Like we could go on. Like Bo Bichette's a star. He's been hurt, but the stars weren't getting it done. It was these Lucases and the Strut. Like you said, the other guys are the guys that put the Jays over the top, the Addison Bargers of the world that put them over the top. But as far as like the Yankees, like I said, they're not that far off. They just need two or three different players, right? They're terrible defensively. Get better defensively. Like the Blue Jays. I talked about it when the Blue Jays got the guy and nobody cared. And I brought it up and all the Blue Jay fans were crying and crying because they didn't get Soto and this guy. And I said, man, Jimenez is a great pickup. I remember at the time, I said, Jimenez, no one talked about it. He's not a star. Like I said, Jimenez is a three-time gold glover. He's the best defensive second baseman in the American League. The Blue Jays defense sucked, right? Mm-hmm. They addressed it. It was like, all right, like he's only one guy, but it's like, all right, they knew that they actually did something about it. They said, man, we're not very good fundamentally. Our defense is no good. Why don't we bring in a three-time Gold Glove second baseman who will make our shortstop better and our double play operation better? And look what it's done for them. It solidified the defense in the infield. It's contagious. Now Vlad plays better defense.
Vlad's defense. Because
he's beside him. Yeah, but it used to be terrible.
I know.
But now he's next to... It's contagious, Cam. If you're next to a bunch of dudes that don't catch the ball or are bad on defense, you're going to be bad. Mm-hmm. If you're playing first base next to a three-time gold glover.
The Gentle Dentist continues to hear compliments from their patients.
I am so glad we found the Gentle Dentist. It is truly pain-free. Not just for me, but I'm so happy my children have had such a wonderful experience. They love the Smile Club.
I'm a business owner, so every minute of my time is valuable. I love that they are so respectful of my time.
The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call now. New patients receive a free sonic toothbrush with a cleaning and exam. Call 614-431-3311.
And you know, man, this guy's a vacuum, man. And this guy's going to catch everything. And I got to be prepared. Like, I got to be better right now because this guy's so good. I'm going to look bad next to him. Like, that's kind of the Yankees right now. They've got a bunch of dudes that just sort of boot the ball around playing with each other. Like, if they just brought in one or two guys that were good ball players, it would settle everything down. And the other guys, like, wouldn't have to worry about catching the ball because he'd be like, I don't have to worry about that. Like, They're just, and the last thing too, I mean, it's more of a Yankee thing too, is Yankee fans bitch a lot now. And I hear it all the time about George Steinbrenner would never stand for this. And I know that you're either younger or you really don't know baseball history very much, which I kind of find out to be true, like over and over, that nobody really knows freaking anything that didn't happen like less than 2 years ago. But I really get a kick out of hearing the George Steinbrenner would never tolerate this. The Yankees sucked like for years and years and years and years under George Steinbrenner. Yankee fans at the time hated George Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner got freaking suspended by Major League Baseball, and that's the only reason they got good, because Gene Michael was suddenly in control of the operation. Like, George Steinbrenner wanted to trade Bernie Williams. Like, George Steinbrenner, there's, guys, watch Seinfeld. What happens when George Costanza's father meets George Steinbrenner? Did he say, oh, you're a brilliant man? He goes, what the hell's wrong with you? You traded Ken, he traded Jay Buhner and his rock of an arm for Ken Phelps.
That's amazing.
Ken Phelps. Well, my scouts told me Ken Phelps was a great player. That was a great scene. But like this whole like, oh, George Steinbrenner, George would never stand for this. And like, oh God, are you kidding me? The Yankees were a clown show under George Steinbrenner. Like, they were a circus. He fired Billy Martin and rehired him like five times. Like, it was seriously a circus clown show, except on the way out, right? On the way out. Like, they got lucky with the Reggie Jackson stuff in a couple of years, but then they got bad, right? Like, they were bad for a long time. And, you know, they got the Jeters and the Williams of the world and the Marianos. Their organization did a great job drafting players and developing players. But it's just funny. And one thing with Steinbrenner, too, is he even admitted it. George Steinbrenner said, he goes, you know, I used to not spend money on the Yankees. I thought that it was just the Yankees and people would come. And then he basically said that, you know, I got the Knicks, I got the Rangers, I got football teams, I got Broadway shows, I got concerts. And he said, I'm not like, you know, we're not really just competing in baseball here in New York. I'm competing for entertainment dollars. And like, he admitted it. He goes, I didn't spend money and we didn't get fans. The stadium used to be empty, Yankee Stadium, guys, not that long ago, right? Like in the 80s type thing. Stadium was empty. And he basically admitted, I don't spend money, nobody comes. And then he started spending money kind of reluctantly. And they started winning. And, you know, he got that reputation on the way out with Jeter and they won the bunch of World Series. But I just get a kick out of the George would never stand for it. It's like, you know, you clearly never read the George Steinbrenner biography before. All right. So speaking of baseball, the Tigers they got Skubal going against the Mariners. Mariners really let him off the hook. Who do you like in game five?
I'm going to take Seattle. This is scary stuff. It's interesting too, Gabe. Geographically, you have like Windsor fan who's like likes the Tigers, a lot of these guys instead of the Jays, and Vancouver fan, even though a lot like Seattle, a lot like the Mariners too. So geographically, it makes for an interesting championship series either way. Skubal's been great. Laying 40 cents on the road, that's tough. Mariners pitcher to be determined, but I think at home they're going to find a way to get it done. I believe in the Seattle Mariners. I just think they're a deeper team than Detroit. Detroit hit one game. Seattle, they got to take care of business and knock Skubal out early. Give me the Mariners as a 20-cent dog.
Listen, I thought Seattle were going to win this series, and I was on Seattle yesterday to close it out, but I don't have any confidence in them now. Thing with Skubal is Skubal's lost his games. Right? The Guardians won the game when he pitched. Seattle won the game when he pitched earlier. I don't think they're going to lose every time Skubal pitches. And it's not Skubal's fault, but they just sort of end up losing. But it's almost like, okay, you really think he's going to lose a third time in a row? Right? And now in a game five setting, Seattle feeling the pressure. Yeah. I actually like Detroit in this game, but it's crazy. Detroit are a -140 favorite.
Gabe, the total's 5.5 on FanDuel.
Yeah, that's wild. Eh? Kirby, 5.5.
Five and a half.
That's a hockey total.
Dude, no, there's not even like, it's 20 cents of juice to the over. Not even like 35. I'm looking at it going, what? 5.5. But you're right. Greg, excellent astute point about Skubal. They don't give him run support when he pitches, but he doesn't rarely pitch poorly. That could be a dangerous recipe. I'd love to see Toronto and Seattle, but yeah, it's a very dangerous game. But that total's crazy.
But it is true. Either way, for the Toronto Blue Jays, it's an interesting matchup, and from a fan perspective, Detroit is closer, right? I think either way, Blue Jay fans are going to take the stadium over for the most part. Now, you have the new you know, we're in a new world right now, right? Now, number one, too, the U.S. government is shut down right now. So you've got total travel chaos, right? I mean, I saw that the airport in Nashville did not have a air traffic controller for 4 hours yesterday.
Wow.
So think about that, Ken. Think about all the flights that are backed up. Like, they literally do not have air traffic controllers. TSA, the people at the airport, the TSA, they are forced to work during this. Like, they are deemed like mandatory, you know,
essential workers.
Yeah. But they don't take it very well.
No, they don't.
So what they do is, yeah, I'll show up to work. I'll show up to the airport, but I'm not going to actually work. And there's nothing you can do about it. They're a powerful union. What are you going to do? So, like, basically in Newark the other day, Cam, there was just like tens of thousands of people standing there. And all the TSA booths were empty.
Unbelievable.
All of them. Right? It's their protest. It's like, all right, yeah, you can make us work, but we're going to stand with the other government workers here. We're not actually going to work, right? So you can force us to show up, but we're not actually going to do it. So they are doing, like, same with the borders, the land borders. It's super slow. Then you throw in the fact that, I don't know, it's like the 1940s in Europe now, like, papers, please, and I'm surprised we're going to have QR codes on our skin. Not to mention, like, the security, the overkill of the security and stuff. Not as many fans are going to go, Cam. You know what I mean? But yep. I was surprised. Like, the Blue Jays played the White Sox in a regular season game last month, and it was packed with Blue Jay fans. So I think if you're a diehard Blue Jay fan, you don't care about the border wait and stuff like that. You'll deal with it, right? So I still think they'll do. But Detroit's a better matchup for them too, Cam. You just got to deal with Scooble. Close. Blue Jay fans will take mm-hmm. Tiger Stadium over, or whatever the hell it's called now. And then Seattle, a little bit different. Seattle always gets taken over by Blue Jay fans, but Seattle are aware of this, and they're going to try to block Blue Jay fans from getting tickets because it really upsets Seattle fans. The Blue Jays are so big in the Pacific Northwest, and they're so big when they go play in Seattle. The Seattle Mariners sold Toronto Blue Jays gear. They made, like, part of the Seattle Mariners shop. They made a Blue Jay section. So, like, you can buy a Vlad Guerrero Jr. out of Mariner game. The Mariner players flipped out.
I don't blame them. they were like,
this is a disgrace. Yeah. Like, they were like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, you're promoting the Blue Jays more than us. And fans didn't like it. So I think the Mariners sort of got the message. So I think they're going to be a little bit more, not as accommodating. But it'll be the same thing, Cam. One thing I'll say, though, the Mariners are not big in Vancouver. They're not. Like, the Seattle Seahawks are, but the Seattle Mariners are not. Nobody cares about the Mariners in Vancouver.
Interesting.
Local news doesn't talk about them or anything like that. Like the Seahawks are the team. Like, the Seahawks have it, like, there's Seahawk bars in the city and stuff. Like, you know, they only show Seahawk games. When the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, they had a little mini parade with some of the players here in Vancouver. So, like, they acknowledge Vancouver. It's pretty cool, actually, with the Seahawks, too. If you dig down deep at the bottom and stuff, they have a link to the BC Lions. Like, the Seahawks actually support the Lions and say, hey, buy tickets and go to Lions games if you're ever in Vancouver and stuff. So, There is some love between the Seahawks and the city of Vancouver, but there is absolutely none, Cam. Like, there's no connection with the Mariners.
I agree with your matchup. Other than Scooble, I'm really not afraid. I don't think they're afraid of anybody on that staff. Seattle can roll out so many pitchers. Like, that's the whole thing. The Mariners pitching staff is phenomenal. All their starters are
Seattle
good.
And the Blue Jays are very similar teams.
They are.
With the players that they have, the matchup, the style of play, I think the Blue Jays are a little bit better than the Mariners are just right now in the groove. The Mariners sort of rely on a couple of guys offensively. The Blue Jays, that's the Mariners' problem. The Mariners have great pitching. You got Cal Raleigh. You got Rodriguez. Suarez has struggled mm-hmm. since he got there. Like, Seattle have to patch together runs. The Blue Jays could put some crooked numbers up on the board. I think, though, personally, the winner of the Phillies and the Dodgers are the team to beat. Moving forward, I just think, you know, when you see there's sort of different levels to this stuff, and I think that I think the Dodgers play at another level. But I will take the Detroit Tigers. I'm leaning with the Tigers on Friday night. So that's at Friday night at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Also Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time, the Las Vegas Aces look to close out the Phoenix Mercury. Man, the Aces are dominating the Mercury. There's nothing the Mercury can do about it, Cam. They can't stop the Aces. One thing I've learned, and I've always watched the WNBA, but like I've really, really paid like close attention this year on a nightly basis, player props and all that type of stuff, is the WNBA is all matchups, man. It's amazing. Like how Las Vegas can't beat Minnesota. Like, for whatever reason, when Vegas plays Minnesota, like, it's the matchup, and, like, they can't deal with it. There's all these teams that can't beat each other when they play each other. It's like, yeah, they don't match up well with them, and they always lose to this team. And it's bizarre, well, because Phoenix were able to beat everybody. They can't beat Vegas. Like, just point blank, they can't beat them. They've lost 7 in a row to them now. We played 3 games in this finals. One of them was close, and 2 of them have been blowouts. It doesn't matter what city we play in. The Phoenix Mercury are falling apart, and they're about to lose. The question is, do they get swept, Cam? That's the only question.
Yeah,
this is a wrap.
The series is over. The question is that one of the good batting angles, like usually 3-0 when you have personal pride in hockey, but I don't know how it's going to affect the WNBA. 2 games, game, 3 points and 2 points, and you're right, and a blowout win of 13. The Mercury, do they have one in them? And maybe lose in 5 at Las Vegas, perhaps? The spread's 2.5. I want to take the Mercury, but you're right. Right now, the Aces are rolling, and it's really hard to pull the trigger. I haven't bet on this game yet, but that 2.5 is low, like 3.5. Couple close games within that number, but 1 blowout. But I want to take the Mercury. I just don't know. Do they have enough intestinal fortitude to grind and force another game? I'm not sure.
No, the game 1 was the only close game. And that one they could have won. They had it. Like they were right there. I guess you know what? So you have the 89-88 game, right? And Alyssa Thomas, the Phoenix Mercury are winning most of the night in game 1. Alyssa Thomas, Vegas came back late. They did their little push late. It was super close. It was like, you know, a 1-point game with like a minute left type of deal. And Alyssa Thomas, who we talk about a lot, she's a double-double machine. She had a bunch of triple-doubles. She's like a stat queen. Like, she puts up these big numbers all the time. And she's really good at the free throw line. So she's on the free throw line. She bricks them both. She bricked them both. Like, actually, you know what? It's coming back to me now, too. There was 22 seconds left, or 23 seconds. So she could have tied the game if she hit one, and she could have they could have taken a 1-point lead if they hit them both. She bricks them both. Instead, they end up losing by 3. It goes from 87-86 to 89-86. The game 2, Phoenix kind of hung around for a little while, and then Vegas just ended up pulling away. 91-78 final score. So they beat them by 13. And then you get the close one again with the Aces. Yet, you know, they were up. They were in control, Cam. Like, yeah, if you watch the series, Phoenix are getting dominated. Like, they're like, you know what I mean? It's one of those deals. Like, they either choke at the end when it's close, or they're getting blown out. It sort of gets pulled away and stuff. Asia Wilson hit the game-winning shot last night, but I think Phoenix had pride, but I think they're done. I think they're done. Like, I think Vegas had the killer instinct. Vegas, no. We win this game, we go back to Vegas, and we party, right? And it's over. I don't think they're going to take the pedal off the metal. I think they're going to finish them off on Friday. All 3 games in the series have gone over the number. So the overs have cashed in this series. All 3 games, 3-0 to the over. College football Friday night. We got a bunch of games, actually. And some pretty good ones. South Florida and North Texas. North Texas are really flying under the radar this year. Mm-hmm. This is a big-time football game. They're an undefeated football team, North Texas. They are 1-point underdogs against South Florida. The total is 66.5, Cam.
I like North Texas here, Gabe. I know both of these teams you want to talk about from a betting perspective, 8-2 combined, both 4-1 against the spread. North Texas, you said it. These guys are kind of underrated, undefeated at home. Tough game. USF's been solid. We talk about their wins. Very impressive. But I think North Texas at home will get it done, Gabe. Like, take a look at this team. They are flying under the radar. I think they can win in a very close game. USF versus Florida, they win. They beat Boise State. But I like North Texas. Mean green, Gabe. Let's go. Let's win some green with North Texas at home. I think they get it done. Win by like 3 to 6 points in a tight one.
You wouldn't think that a South Florida-North Texas game would have playoff implications, but this does. There has to be that other outsider team that makes the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? Last year it was Boise State. It could be UNLV this year, right? UNLV, that's another one. I'm going to get to that tomorrow. I got to tip my cap to UNLV, but UNLV could be another one. But as I stated, you've got North Texas right now, and North Texas just keep racking up the W's. They're a 5-0 team on the season. They haven't really played anybody, so this is their opportunity now against the South Florida team. And look, South Florida have the win against the Florida Gators, right? They got a win against Boise State. So, South Florida, they got murdered by Miami, but that's acceptable. Like, if South Florida only have that one loss and it's against the Miami Hurricanes, they can make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. North Texas can make the playoffs if they got, but North Texas would have to win every game this year. And this is one of these classic spots, too, Cam, where you got the ranked team against the ranked team favored on the road against the unranked team. The unranked team always wins in that spot.
Cincinnati did.
Yeah, say exactly. Cincinnati did last week. You know what? Another one is weird here is Michigan. Same thing. Michigan and USC. USC are not ranked. Michigan are. USC are the favorites, which that's another spot where, like, the ranked teams always lose, put it that way. And also, I saw a thing. Ranked teams are 0-3 this year in weekday games.
Huh.
All ranked teams have lost when they play on the weeknights.
That's crazy.
Ranked teams normally don't play on weeknights, right? So it's kind of it's a weird dynamic there. But something about that's that's Friday night. I actually like South Florida in this game. I like Brown, their quarterback. I think they're more battle tested than North Texas. But it's going to be a super fun game. It's actually a must watch game. And it should be a track meet. The total is 66.5. Speaking of which, Rutgers and Washington. Rutgers, we've been telling you guys, Rutgers are an over machine this year. They take on Washington in Seattle. It's kind of an early start. So it's 6 o'clock in Seattle, 9 o'clock Eastern. The total is 60. Washington are laying 10.5. It kind of feels a little bit high to me.
I agree.
Only because Rutgers could backdoor it, but Washington could kill them as well.
Yeah, it's a tough game. I'm starting to think it's a good spread. Like, I could see Washington winning this game right around that number, Gabe. I would lean to Rutgers, though, with the points. It's a lot of points. You're right. The back door is open at 10.5, but I don't know. I don't want to lay a big price with Washington. That's a tough game, man. I like North Texas. I know you're on South Florida. That's kind of the game that I'm looking at right now. Colorado State and Fresno is a train wreck. Fresno is actually a 5-1 football team. Colorado State just sucks. I bet them last week in a spot. That was just a bad bet. Other than that, I don't really know what else to pick in these spots, but I would lean Rutgers getting excessive points.
If they were playing, the problem is Washington. Teams do not do well traveling far.
Yeah.
We saw last week. Penn State went to UCLA. They lost outright. Mm-hmm. They're 24-point favorites. They lost outright. Big Ten teams that travel. This is another one, too, and I bring this up. I know this because I'm a Michigan fan, but Michigan are 1-10 the last 11 times they've traveled through two time zones. It's not good. Not good. College kids aren't used to it. Like, they don't do well when they travel.
I like Michigan, though, Gabe. I think this is a spot where styles make fights, and USC is a good – but Michigan, they're battle-tested on the lines, and I think the one thing you can do, USC, is – turn it into a fight. You know what I mean? Establish your running game, and then I think they can beat the Trojans. So those numbers are actually stunning, but I think Michigan's the one that can buck the trend. We're getting 2.5 points. I think they can just beat up USC and find a way to win this game.
I think they can. It's a toss-up, though. I've been worried about this game. I knew this game was going to be a tough one, and here it is right now. And we got USC off a loss, too, which I'm not overly excited about. It's a massive game for the USC Trojan program. They played last year. Michigan beat them 27-24. Yeah. It was like a three-point game. They barely beat them, and they were lucky to beat them, to be honest. The thing with the fascinating with this game, guys, is it's totally split. Like, the game is sold out because of Michigan fans. So, like, they got a massive stadium, 100,000 people, whatever, the L.A. Coliseum, et cetera. But USC, they're not quite as hot as they used to be, right, like in L.A. So they don't sell out anymore. You know, they'll get 70,000 or 80,000 or whatnot, but, like, they don't fill it up. The game is completely sold out, and it's going to be – so it's almost going to be like a split crowd type thing. So it's going to have sort of a neutral feel, bowl feel to it. The Michigan Wolverines, best thing that they do – is run the ball. Like, there's no disputing it. Like, Michigan are ranked sixth running the football in the country. Justice Haynes is the best running back in the country. Jordan Marshall is a stud behind him. Like, Michigan, they can really run the football. And this is what we hang our hat on. So they're going to just try to pummel USC in the trenches and run the football. On the other side of it, USC strength is throwing the football. Michigan's weakness on defense is pass defense. Michigan's secondary and pass defense has been a major disappointment this year. And, you know, we didn't want to, you know, I said it earlier in the year, we played New Mexico. I said, I don't want to panic. It's only week one, but New Mexico moved the ball too easily on Michigan through the air. And then after the game, Michigan admitted, yeah, their passing schemes confused us. And I'm thinking, man, you're getting confused by the New Mexico Lobos. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a big concern.
Yeah, but the thing is, they actually do run a complicated little passing attack. So Big Ten teams don't, right? They, you know what I mean, it's more primitive in the Big Ten. But they're giving up, like, nearly 300 yards a game in the air, Michigan, which is very unheard of. Michigan's run defense is great. You can't run on Michigan. Michigan's defensive line is stout. You can't run on them. You know, they got to get to the quarterback more, but they're doing a better job of creating pressure now. But Michigan's D-line is really good, Camp, but their secondary has struggled. They were without one of their best players, Rod Moore, for the first couple of games, so he's back right now. That makes a big difference for them. But don't kid yourself. USC are going to score. From a betting perspective, you don't usually think of Michigan over, but Michigan do play to the over now. And their defense isn't like – it's not the Harbaugh defense from a couple of years ago. And Michigan's offense will be able to score on USC. The total is 57.5. I think we get there. I think it's going to go over the number. I do like Michigan. They're getting 2.5 with Michigan. But this is no – I'm not confident, Cam. Like, I'm going into this game sort of thinking, all right, let's hope for the best. Anything can happen here. Hey, Michigan's physicality should be able to grind them through. Put it this way. Both these coaches are sort of – they got to win. Like, Lincoln Riley needs to win some big games, right, at USC. He just does. He needs to win big games. Beating Michigan would be a big win for him. Coach Moore, you know, there's the great recruiting and all this type stuff, but we got to win too. Like, we've already lost one game this year. We can't afford another loss. If we lose this game, then we can't lose again for the rest of the year. So we don't want to be put in that position. This is a massive game for both programs, both coaches, both quarterbacks. Maiva, who's, like, really good in L.A., doesn't get any love. And then you get Bryce Underwood, who's making all the money, and people want to see more from him. And how come they don't throw the ball more? So, yeah, big-time game Saturday night, Michigan. And USC. All right, we'll wrap it up, Cam. NFL football, Eagles, Giants. What are you doing with the Eagle-Giant game?
I actually don't love it, Gabe. It's a tough game. I want to take the dog, but I can't. I like the Eagles to win this game and cover. I know the total is extremely low at 40.5. I was hoping maybe for a 41. I like a teaser. Eagles pick them under 47.5. I like the Eagles to win this game. And I finally think Saquon Barkley is going to get a touchdown in this game. It's unbelievable, Morency. I've seen it at minus 145 on some sites. This guy used to be like 220, 240 for a touchdown. It's been disappointing this year. I think this is the week that the Eagles have a can of whoop ass going, and I don't think the Giants can stop them. I'm thinking like a 26-13 type of game, just under the number. That's what I'm thinking. Eagles to cover, low scoring.
I agree with you. I can't take the New York Giants. The Giants are a horrible home team. The Eagles are in a bad mood. The Eagles own the Giants. There's just so many things going against them. The Giants have a ton of injuries as well. Their injury report is like a page long tonight. Maybe the Giants hang around a little bit, but eventually the Eagles are going to pull away. It's kind of an ugly game. I'm looking forward to the baseball and the hockey more so tonight than this NFL football game. What any hockey picks on the way out for you?
I'm actually going to take your Canucks. Could you believe Calgary, Gabe? What's with the Oilers? They go piss away a 3-goal lead. Like, this is like unbelievable stuff. But Vancouver, I'm going to take Vancouver -1.5 +118. I'll find a parlay piece for them as well at -210. A little bit too rich on the money line, but Calgary on the back-to-back. I think it's important Vancouver gets off to a good start. We'll get Calgary's backup goaltender. Wow. Crazy stuff. Got to give the Flames a lot of credit for their first win, but I think Vancouver takes care of business in their home opener. A lean to the Ducks +105 against the Kraken.
Last year, the Vancouver Canucks opened up their season against the Calgary Flames as well. And they were winning like 4-1 in the third period. And it was like, oh yeah, great season opener for the Canucks. And the Canucks blew the lead in the third period and lost the game. You know that they remember that. I remember it. Everybody in Vancouver remembers it. Anybody that bet on the game remembers it. You know the players remember it. It's the same team coming in here tonight. Yeah, nice win for the Flames last night. Really tough fought for them coming into Vancouver this evening. I do think the Canucks cover on the puck line. It'll be Football Friday. Rob Vino will step up and then subscribe to the podcast so you get alerted when it gets posted wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
The Gentle Dentist continues to hear compliments from their patients.
I am so glad we found the Gentle Dentist. It is truly pain-free. Not just for me, but I'm so happy my children have had such a wonderful experience. They love the Smile Club.
I'm a business owner, so every minute of my time is valuable. I love that they are so respectful of my time.
The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call now. New patients receive a free sonic toothbrush with a cleaning and exam. Call 614-431-3311.